What we heard, a summary of comments, suggestions, and ideas on population growth in Newfoundland and Labrador. Introduction. The Population Growth Strategy is a Government of Newfoundland and Labrador initiative that will encourage population stability and growth in the province, connected to work ongoing and in development on a wide range of policy and program areas. It will promote an integrated approach to improving conditions favorable to the attraction of people living elsewhere in Canada and the world, while also making it easier and more appealing for those already living in Newfoundland and Labrador to continue living, working, and raising their families here. Newfoundland and Labrador is thriving. Labor productivity has been growing, more people in this province are working than ever before, and the average weekly earnings of workers are among the highest in the country. The population has also grown in the last 5 years, primarily from in-migration or the settlement of newcomers from Canada and abroad in the province, indicating further signs of social and economic prosperity. At the same time, the demographic picture in the province is changing rapidly as the population changes and fewer children are born. In response to this demographic situation, the Population Growth Strategy will set out a multifaceted approach which will include consideration for 1. Communities. The strategy will promote vibrant, innovative, and inclusive communities across Newfoundland and Labrador that attract and retain residents of all ages and backgrounds. 2. Families. The strategy will focus on continuing to build a family-friendly province for all residents. 3. Newcomers. Whether they come from other parts of Canada or from around the world, newcomers are important for stabilizing and growing the population, and any effort to become more inclusive, multicultural, and diverse makes Newfoundland and Labrador stronger. We will work to both attract and retain newcomers in our province. The Strategy Discussion Paper, Changing Course, a discussion paper on population growth in Newfoundland and Labrador. Hyperlink to http://www.gov.nl.ca/population-growth/pdf/population-growth.pdf. Launched in September 2013, expands on population growth in more detail and provides context on the province's demographics. The Population Growth Strategy is being developed by a team within the Department of Advanced Education and Skills under the leadership of the Honourable Kevin O'Brien, Minister of Advanced Education and Skills, and Parliamentary Secretary Tony Cornett. Between October 1st and November 29th, 2013, strategy officials held consultations on how best to sustain communities and grow the population across Newfoundland and Labrador. The consultants included 11 public community workshops. Hyperlink to http://www.gov.nl.ca/population-growth/workshops.html. In the 9 rural secretariat regions of the province, 210 individual residents and representatives of community associations, municipalities, and private businesses participated in these events. Members of the public unable to attend the workshops were invited to email or mail their suggestions. In addition to holding public community workshops during the stakeholder meetings, strategy officials also met with and heard from over 100 youth and nearly 200 members and representatives of different community organizations, private sector employers, boards and associations in separate meetings to engage with them on ideas for labor market and workforce development and population growth. This document summarizes over 1,800 suggestions, comments, and ideas gathered from community workshops, written and other submissions, as well as meetings with residents and organizations. It is a summary of discussions and suggestions, submitted without prejudice to further government policy plans. This document is summarized into 4 main sections, focusing on the labor market, family-friendly policies, immigration, and community well-being. In each section, a brief introduction to the relevant topic is provided, followed by a summary of the suggestions received from residents and different organizations. Specific ideas we heard box. Included in this summary is a specific ideas box in each section featuring some concrete suggestions heard from participants who made submissions either by mail, email, or during meetings and community workshops. These are not ideas directed at any particular group. Rather, they are ideas that different levels of government, employers, community organizations, and individual residents could choose to explore further. Their inclusion here is intended as a way to provide some food for thought on the role everyone in the province plays in supporting population growth. Consultation process overview. Population growth strategy officials organize the population consultants to gather public input on policy areas important for population growth. Officials ask questions on the labor market, family-friendly policies, and immigration. A fourth subject, community well-being, was captured during the discussion on the other three questions. Sessions featured brief topic introductions to provide context, informal unscientific straw polls using electronic equipment that allowed participants to vote anonymously on various topics, small group discussions that narrowed down issues from broad themes to specific questions, and facilitation and note-taking at every community workshop table. The Government of Newfoundland and Labrador's Office of Public Engagement provided critical support in the design and delivery of these sessions. The information collected by the note-takers was used to prepare this document. These notes, along with written and other submissions and meetings with residents and stakeholder groups, form the basis of this summary. Who participated at the Population Growth Strategy Workshops 2013 in overview? Gender, 63%. Female, male, 37%. Age group, 18 to 34, 34%. 35 to 49, 39%. 50 to 64, 22%. And 65 plus, 5%. Participants originally from Newfoundland and Labrador, 74%. Another Canadian province or territory, 8%. And another country, 18%. Where were the community workshops held? St. John's, Carbonear, Clarenville, Marystown, Gander, Grand Falls, Windsor, Corner Brook, Stephenville, St. Anthony, Happy Valley, Goose Bay, Labrador City, Newcomer Session, Association of New Canadians. Input and ideas. Labor market. Participants at the sessions provided a wide range of input and perspectives on the current realities of the provincial labor market and its role in population growth, and clearly expressed that a healthy labor market is essential to sustaining and growing the province's population. The following dominant themes and views were noted. The three most common labor market issues raised were: there aren't enough jobs in the area, the jobs that are available don't pay enough, and often people don't have the right skills for the available jobs. Participants stated that while lower-paying entry-level jobs played an important role in local economies and labor markets, government and employers should make efforts to increase wages to reflect people's investments in education and training. Some participants supported increasing the minimum wage, while others noted the challenges that employers face in trying to meet increasing wage demands. Employers could provide other benefits such as better workplace-based training and employee development, flexible work schedules, pension planning, and the provision of other supports. There is a need to better match high school, post-secondary, and skills training to current labor market needs. Participants were in favor of enhanced supports for employers to assist them in providing employees with workplace-based training and skills development. The recognition of prior learning, skills, and experience was consistently brought up as an issue, whether related to interprovincial attraction of labor from other provinces or the attraction of immigrants from abroad. The need for employers to be aware of the value of diversity was also regularly based. We also heard about the potential temporary foreign workers bring to our labor market, especially if they transition towards permanent residency in the province. Some participants called for an increased role of government in planning for regional sustainability, exploring efforts to facilitate industrial and economic development, and exploring opportunities to expand and enhance growing sectors such as hospitality and tourism. Participants suggested that employers should place a greater focus on succession planning to ensure the continuity of their enterprises, which are vital to smaller communities, and to consider job sharing to increase employment opportunities for individuals. And participants also noted the need for employers and government to better promote and advertise employment opportunities that are available in their local areas and to increase efforts to encourage people to support small local businesses. Specific ideas we heard on the labor market. Shared labor pools. Groups as small as two employers could create shared labor pools to ensure a steady labor support during peak periods of the year, as well as year-round employment for otherwise seasonal workers. Database for upcoming employment opportunities. Employers could establish regional databases of expected labor shortages to begin the process of recruiting employees for various positions. Non-financial incentives. Some employers could focus on cost-free or low-cost incentives for employers to promote attraction and retention purposes, such as flexible working hours, family day, working from home, etc. Family-friendly policies. Family-friendly policies aim to improve the lives of residents and their families. These policies may include assistance to families through employment supports, efforts to foster welcoming, vibrant, and innovative communities, actions to promote child development, measures to encourage gender equity and diversity in the workplace, and supports to families caring for dependents. Points we heard during our discussion about family-friendly policies. Most participants agreed that family-friendly practices can encourage a stronger birth rate within the province. Alongside access to health care and cost of housing, the proximity to family and friends was a top consideration for participants when they were asked about their ideal place to live. For newcomers, community safety was an important factor when considering where to live. The importance and impact that family considerations have on an individual's major life decisions, for example, where to live, what job or career to pursue, etc., was an overlapping theme with our other questions focused upon immigration and the labor market. For both newcomers, whether from other parts of Canada or from around the world, and current residents, particularly those having known someone who has gone away and returned, the importance of having family nearby was emphasized, especially when discussing raising children or caring for aging relatives for those with complex needs. Childcare was an important part of our conversations. For participants considering whether the province is a good place to have children, the availability, affordability, and quality of childcare were noted as key issues. Participants raised challenges related to the flexibility of childcare, for example, operating hours, the role of families, the need for alternative solutions to childcare, and the need to address staffing issues in the field. Childcare issues were seen to play a role in both attracting and retaining people to the province, given the weight young professionals place upon it when considering the financial lifestyle and practical concerns regarding parenthood. Other common issues heard during the discussions on family-friendly policies centered upon the potential for establishing full-day kindergarten within the province, the desire to see changes that would strengthen maternity, paternity leave benefits, and the difficult financial considerations one has to acknowledge when starting a family, and the need to begin paying down student debt coupled with the cost of living, for example, higher housing costs, need for private transportation in lieu of public options increase the tendency of individuals to focus upon their professional ambitions while delaying or avoiding starting a family. On this subject area, we heard that the provincially mandated and supported tuition freeze by Memorial University and College of the North Atlantic has made a major difference in the lives of young families. And one public submission from a women's organization saw the tuition freeze as the best way to encourage women to join the workforce. The need for employers to understand an individual's personal responsibilities, especially family care concerns, was top of mind for many. We heard that some employers and communities alike could benefit from educational work by government and human rights agencies on the need to build a respectful society that does not discriminate on the basis of gender, pregnancy, or other grounds. The conclusion from Roundtable centered upon the importance of recognizing family-friendly policies as strong tools for the attraction and retention of people to Newfoundland and Labrador, whether they are current residents, expatriates, or newcomers. Residents discussed characteristics of community well-being throughout the community workshops and meetings and recognized that individuals and families consider a range of factors when thinking of where they wish to live. This is especially the case for newcomers who likely have few or no previous connections to the province when they first arrive and may easily be swayed by employment opportunities elsewhere if they do not establish and foster links with their new home here in Newfoundland and Labrador beyond the workplace. Specific ideas we heard on family-friendly policies. Co-op child care centers. Communities, municipal governments, post-secondary institutions, and employers could join efforts to develop on-site or community co-op child care centers for the benefit of community members and employees. Supplementing parental leave with wage replacement based on the number of children in the household. It was proposed that employers could provide parental leave wage supplement, which could vary based on the number of children in the household. Immigration. In community workshops and meetings with residents and organizations, we heard a number of different perspectives on how to best support and foster immigration in Newfoundland and Labrador. Points we heard during the discussions about immigration include: an overwhelming majority of participants agreed that immigrants enrich our communities. A large majority of participants felt that Newfoundland and Labrador should do more to attract and retain immigrants, and most participants either strongly agreed or agreed that their community needed to be more friendly, welcoming, and inclusive in order to attract people. The term immigrant is used in the context of permanent immigration. Immigrants include those with initial permanent resident status and those who later attain citizenship status. Categories of immigrants include family class, spouses, children, parents, grandparents, economic class, federal skilled workers, provincial nominees, and other economic immigrants, and protected persons, federal government-assisted refugees, and other individuals admitted for humanitarian and compassionate reasons. To be more welcoming and inclusive in order to attract more from different backgrounds. Nearly all participants were willing to be involved on a personal level in helping to build welcoming communities in their regions. Four key areas were consistently expressed as participants discussed the potential for increased retention and attraction of immigrants in the province. We need to recognize prior learning, skills and experience, and credentials obtained elsewhere, a theme that was also brought up during discussions on the labor market. The need to promote the province internationally to attract immigrants. The need to improve supports for immigrants before their arrival in the province. And the need to expand and increase settlement program following the arrival in the province to ensure community integration and retention across the province. We heard about the need to also support the immigrants' partners and spouses in integrating and finding employment, which is an important factor for retention in the long term. There was a positive call to increase the attraction and retention of immigrants in Newfoundland and Labrador. Private sector associations, community settlement agencies, and women's organizations in particular emphasize the need to work more closely with the federal government to increase immigration to the province. to address our labor market needs and enrich our culture by enhancing diversity in our communities. One written submission summarized this discussion, stating more permanent resident means more schools, hospitals, businesses, and employment opportunities. We heard numerous times about the need to increase supports for Francophone immigration to the province, which is a key goal outlined in the Newfoundland-Labrador immigration strategy. Recommendations from the Francophone community included a renewed strategic focus on recruiting the Francophone countries around the world to increase outreach, attraction, and retention efforts. Numerous discussions focused on the need to mobilize support for immigrants in a number of areas: attraction and retention, employment and the labor market, efforts to promote the province as a destination of choice, creation of inclusive communities, and support for international students and temporary foreign workers in transitioning to permanent residency in the province. We heard that an important part of immigrant integration in the community is related to the settlement services in place prior to newcomer arrival, as well as the level to which a community is willing and inclusive to newcomers. We heard that welcoming communities where diversity is celebrated and newcomers are embraced as community members are crucial to long-term retention. Families are important for setting roots and developing a sense of belonging. We heard a number of times about the need to support immigrants in bringing their families to the province and helping them integrate into the local community. Throughout the province, we heard a consistent call for increased settlement support for newcomers. Participants felt that municipalities have a special role to play in the attraction, integration, and retention of immigrants. We heard about the need for municipalities to take on a greater role in promoting their communities on the web and the need to promote local events online so that newcomers are aware of local activities. We also heard about the need for municipalities to celebrate diversity, such as by earmarking special days to celebrate diversity and including considerations of diversity in their decision-making. We heard a consistent call for a greater promotion of Newfoundland-Labrador as a destination of choice for immigrants. Participants told us they were impressed by the tourism campaign promoting the province to visitors, but felt that there should be separate advertising to promote immigration to the province. Participants felt promotion was not only useful for attraction, but also for retention purposes and for public education in order to make the local communities aware of the benefits of immigration. A number of participants called for the need to promote stories of newcomers who settled in the province and established a life here. We heard that immigrants can be important ambassadors and advocates of immigration to the province and countries from which they have immigrated. As an example, the growing Francophone community in the province has benefited from informal networks of newcomers who have attracted family and friends to the province. We have also heard that we could potentially reach out to Newfoundlanders and Labradorians living elsewhere in Canada and the world as ambassadors for the province as a place to live and work. And we also heard about the need for the province to participate in international immigration missions and to develop targeted immigrant recruitment strategies in order to foster both attraction and retention. A major part of what we heard about immigration also included calls for more education on immigration and its contributions to the province, particularly as more immigrants fill labor shortages, the need to promote non-discrimination, respect, and inclusion in the workplace, school, and community was a consistent theme throughout the consultation process. Some noted that the need to encourage education of non-discrimination and inclusion, particularly when it comes to refugee youth. Participants suggested that this was a good opportunity to continue the Newfoundland-Labrador tradition of having welcoming communities through regular social exchanges and local events that communities could organize to meet, interact with, and get to know newcomers. Specific ideas we heard on immigration: matching newcomers with local community members. While the Association for New Canadians currently conducts volunteer matching programs for newcomers, some suggestions propose that this matching be expanded across the province for all newcomers, including new residents from other parts of Canada, as well as those from other countries. Establish an immigrant ambassador program. This program could involve newly settled immigrant communities, community members who may already be traveling to other parts of the world to visit their country of origin to volunteer to promote living and working in Newfoundland and Labrador. Post welcome signs in different languages. This suggestion proposed that municipalities, businesses, local community centers, and other local spaces place welcome signs in different languages as a low-cost measure to visually display the community's support for newcomers from different regions of Canada as well as other countries. A community open doors program for newcomers and local community members. One suggestion proposed that neighborhoods could come together and invite newcomers to their homes for a welcoming meal or cereal or series of social activities in their community. Community well-being. Factors including community well-being came up in every meeting we held during the consultation process. In today's globalized world, people choose to move to a place for reasons beyond employment opportunities. The local culture, amenities, entertainment, extracurricular and recreational activities, inclusiveness and openness to newcomers and to diversity, as well as proximity to local services all make a difference in decisions people of all ages make when deciding where to live. During our discussions on immigration and community workshops and meetings across the province, participants emphasized the importance of building welcoming communities that sought to reach out and to build a sense of belonging that includes newcomers. On the family front, we heard that communities will need to change to adjust to supporting working families and differing pressures. For example, child care centers with traditional operating hours may need to consider having different working hours to accommodate shift work parents. Employers may need to consider offering flexible working arrangements as part of their human resource policies in order both to support employee retention and to foster work-life balance that is integral to employee satisfaction and ultimately retention. We heard that parents and families care about having access to a wide range of community activities for their children, especially teenage youth for whom the choice for extracurricular activities outside the school community can be limiting in rural parts of the province, and some participants proposed additional support to the arts and culture sector, which engages in innovative initiatives that show how our culture is evolving. Participants also noted the need for the province's arts and culture sector to have a higher profile on the national and international stage. In the words of an arts organization, "We need to be contemporary to compete. The fact is, we already are, but not enough people both here and away know about it." Specific ideas we heard on community well-being. Promote wellness. Some submissions suggested that municipalities play an important role in promoting wellness in the communities, such as promoting wellness programs, making communities walkable and accessible throughout the year, and encouraging year-round recreational activities. Shared transportation options. One participant proposed that employers in rural areas pool their efforts and resources to establish joint transportation options for workers, such as a minivan or minibus that could pick up and drop off workers on a daily basis. Welcoming spaces open outside of the 9-to-5 hours, weekdays. We heard about the need to have community and resource centers open outside of the typical 9-to-5 working hours in order to accommodate parents and families seeking recreational and social opportunities. Some of these suggestions propose that centers consider changing their operating hours in order to accommodate working families and school-age youth who seek social activities outside of their school and work environment, and to also open on weekends in order to become go-to spaces for new residents, parents, young professionals, youth, and families. Next steps. Recognizing that people choose where to live based on a variety of factors, the strategy will focus on encouraging current residents and potential newcomers to choose to live, work, and build their families in communities across Newfoundland and Labrador. The strategy will inform and be informed by ongoing government efforts, including but not limited to Caring for Our Future, Provincial Strategy for Quality, Sufficient, and Affordable Child Care in Newfoundland and Labrador, 2012-2022, hyperlink to http://www.newfoundlandlabrador.ca/ www.gov.nl.ca/CYFS/publications/childcare/caringforourfuture.pdf. Diversity and Growth and Immigration Strategy for Newfoundland Labrador, PDF file, hyperlink to http://www.nlimmigration.ca/media/12684/strategy-doc-mar07.pdf. An Active Healthy Newfoundland and Labrador, a Recreation and Sports Strategy for Newfoundland and Labrador. Addressing the wide range of matters raised during our public consultation across the mandates of municipal, provincial, government departments and agencies. Efforts to address population growth will also require the involvement of the federal government, municipal governments, labor organizations, employers, community agencies, and others. The strategy will adopt a holistic approach, moving forward with establishing key priorities and objectives with consideration to the public input and our continuing public policy work. The strategy priorities and objectives will not simply be aimed at the provincial government, but to everyone who can make a difference in ensuring a stable and growing population in Newfoundland and Labrador. It is anticipated that the population growth strategy will be finalized and released in the mid-2014. It will build on and support work currently conducted or completed by government departments and agencies. As a strategy, it will establish government-wide and sector-specific goals and priorities in the areas of population and demographics. Annex, submissions and meetings with residents and organizations. The public community workshops were attended by 201 participants who proposed ideas for population growth in Newfoundland and Labrador. As a follow-up, the strategy team collected email addresses of interested participants who wished to receive news from the strategy, including a copy of the What We Heard document and of the strategy launch. While the list of attendees is not disclosed here in order to protect the privacy of community workshop participants, the list of some residents and community and other organizations from whom the strategy team met, as well as list of organizations who have made written submissions to the strategy, is included below. Person Organization. Paula Mills, Vice President, Atlantic Canada Opportunities Agency. Susan Drodge, Director General, Atlantic Canada Opportunities Agency. Sheila Freak, Coordinator, Aboriginal Resource Centre. AIESEC Memorial. Gail Carbonell, Executive Director, Federation Francophone de Terre-Neuve et Labrador. Cyrilda Poirier, President, Federation Francophone de Terre-Neuve et Labrador. Christophe Kern, Executive Director, Réseau de Développement Économique et d'Employabilité, RDEE. Stephen Watt, Representative, Fédération des Parents Francophones de Terre-Neuve et Labrador. Danielle Morin, Representative, Association Communautaire Francophone de Saint-Jean. Jean-Marc Bellinger, Coordinator, Réseau Santé en Français. Claude Giraud, Executive Director, Conseil Scolaire Francophone de Terre-Neuve et Labrador. Megan Morris, Executive Director, Association for New Canadians. Avalon Rural Secretariat Council. Bjorn Rural Secretariat Council. Michael Walsh, Chair, Canadian Federation of Students, Newfoundland Labrador Chapter. Travis Perry, Treasurer, Canadian Federation of Students, Newfoundland Labrador Chapter. Cody Murphy, Vice President, College of the North Atlantic Students Union. Victoria Belbin, Chief Executive Officer, Canadian Home Builders Association. Teresa James, Membership Services Coordinator, Canadian Home Builders Association. Chris Shepherd, Executive Director, St. John's Native Friendship Center. Barbara Burnaby, Coordinator, Coalition on Richer Diversity. Anne-Marie Vaughn, President, College of the North Atlantic, Coordinating Committee of Newcomer Integration, Memorial University, Municipal and Provincial Governments, Community and Other Organizations involved in the area, 12 representatives. Dan Dillon, Program Coordinator, Entrepreneur Training Program, Memorial University. A focus group of former Government of Newfoundland Labrador senior civil servants from the Government of Newfoundland Labrador. Memorial University Harris Center, Faculty Facilitation, 20-plus MON faculty members and staff. Heather Bartlett, Executive Director, Daybreak Daycare. Holy Spirit High School, 3 grade 11 career course classes, 90 students. Ivan Emick, Professor and Internationalization Coordinator, Granville Campus, Memorial University. Labrador West Regional Task Force. Caroline Vaughn, Executive Director, Literacy Newfoundland. Loyola Hearn, Ambassador to Ireland. Joey Donnelly, President, Memorial University Graduate Students Union. Candace Sims, Director of External Affairs, Memorial University Students Union. Ashley Holloway, Director of Campaigns, Memorial University Students Union. Municipalities, Newfoundland and Labrador. Carrie Majid, Executive Director, Newfoundland Labrador Human Rights Commission, Newfoundland Labrador Coalition of Business. Linda Ross, Chief Executive Officer, Provincial Advisory Council on the Status of Women. Provincial Rural Secretariat Council, Newfoundland Aboriginal Women's Network, Newfoundland Labrador Association of Social Workers, Eastern Edge Gallery, Hospitality Newfoundland Labrador, Canadian Federation of Independent Business, the Association of Registered Nurses of Newfoundland and Labrador, the Newfoundland and Labrador Coalition of Business, Jose Rivera, Executive Director, Refugee and Immigrant Advisory Council, Campaign Life Coalition, Rob Shea, Associate Vice President, Academic and Student Affairs, Marine Institute, Dennis Mahoney, Chair, Board of Directors, St. John's Board of Trade, Des Whalen, Director, Board of Directors, St. John's Board of Trade, Strategic Partnership, a partnership between business, labor, and government representatives dedicated to improving the quality of life of the people of Newfoundland and Labrador through sustainable, balanced economic and social development. Matthew Brockle, Vice President, Executive, Granville Campus Students Union. Wanda Cuff Young, Vice President, Work Global Canada. Patsy Witten, Executive Director, Community Center Alliance. Kim Gillard, Making It Work Coordinator, Community Center Alliance. Mary Shortle, President, Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Labor. Carrie Murray, Director of Economic and Social Policy, Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Labor. Note, the strategy team also held meetings with 20 other interested individual residents between February 2013 and November 2013 and received 20 other written submissions from individual residents. Names of individuals have not been disclosed to protect their privacy.